Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is, can you believe it, February 6, 2017. We're heading into the new year. Today I have on with us an artist and somewhat of a philosopher, Mr. Thomas Ackerman. And we have been having our own private conversations that I thought might be useful for us to share with our audience. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Hello, Lonnie. Thank you for asking me on again. I appreciate your introduction, actually, philosopher. I hadn't thought of myself a philosopher.
Yeah, you are really a bit of, I mean, all people have to do is watch your YouTube videos and you'll see what I'm talking about. So we were talking about how we can get better at getting people active, not just taking to the streets, but actually making a difference.
Yesterday, you mean?
Yes, that was kind of the key. This is the key thing, isn't it, Tom? Is like people can take to the streets, but if we're, the action that we're doing is ineffective, nothing's going to change. It's like, look at the water protectors. Now, the government is basically going after them. These pipelines are getting built. They're going on. I mean, there's an assault going on in North Dakota right now. They're being under attack, for real. And all those people that took to the streets, it's for naught.
Well, you know, I'm not really that great on all the latest information about things. I'm aware of events happening, but what I refer to, you know, in my conversations with you, I like to think of it as conversations from the heart. The way we, when we have contact, we've become friends. We've never actually met in real life, but we've become friends. And I think the reason we're friends is we're able to have these conversations that I consider to be of the heart. And I realize you're introducing topics, the pipeline. I think these are events occurring all around us. They're you know, they tend to get overwhelming. I mean, I listen to the news and the topics you raise. There's a lot of material there that could be quite daunting and overwhelming, which is, I think, part of the problem I feel personally in being able to act, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. It is overwhelming. I mean, it's like the news about Fukushima the last week. They manipulate us. Like, there's a story that came out on E&E News that says it's higher than it's ever been, 532 counts per minute. Well, I don't believe that that's new information. I think it's just now they're telling us because now they have a robot that can go in there and measure it after 6 years.
Actually, 532 sieverts, I think it was.
Yes, but still.
Sieverts. Sieverts are like
microsieverts, yeah.
yeah. Not counts per minute, Lonnie. There's a big difference there. The idea that you could be surrounded by 532 sieverts, I think You would literally melt almost, I think, in that kind of a
I think
circumstance.
that's the point there, is that that's exactly what's been going on for 6 years. But the way they present it is if it's new information. I think what they're doing is meeting out the most, this is horrific information that the world needs. This is Fukushima, frankly, is like a catastrophe. It's so ironic. It's the biggest, most gigantic, epic moving thing on our planet, and everybody's just whistling Dixie and acting like, no big deal.
I was wondering, Lonnie, considering what we talked about yesterday was about being able to be actually effective, not just be active, but effective. Obviously, to be active precedes being effective. But I'm wondering how you're holding up because you're doing five programs a week on this radio station, and you're expanding your conversation to a lot of people, which is quite interesting for me because you're including many different people in your conversations, in your interviews, which must take a lot of work.
Well, it's interesting. The reason I'm expanding it is because I'm beginning to realize that exposing the lies of the nuclear industry, it bleeds into so many other aspects of our culture and our civilization. It has permeated every crack in our culture, and the dysfunction of many of the things that are going on is really at the foundation of it, the lies that started with the nuclear industry when they discovered the rhodogen. When I'm realizing and reading in this article on you on my YouTube channel, they've been studying, Goffman said it very bluntly. They studied people from the beginning of it, discovering the rhodogen, and they started asking for permission in the 40s. So for 40 years, they were like just experimenting on every baby that came through the hospital. I mean, it's stunning, and it goes through every aspect of it. So I don't know, how am I holding up? I guess I'm holding up. I mean, I'm doing my work. It's like a part-time job, but the reality is, the reason I'm doing it is because we really have got to get people interested. And so my idea is to bring different people in to help people understand that this whole picture, it's a cohesive picture, but we're sort of being fragmented intentionally. Like, it's very interesting the way that the anti-nukers feel like the coal industry is not theirs and vice versa, the oil industry is not theirs. Like, it's all the same thing, and it's fundamentally all about money. So the question is, how do we get people to really move beyond that paradigm? And I don't have the answers, but I do know that my friend Peter Shaberick here in town went to a meeting for how to train to be an activist and how to be a networker. And now he said there was over 400 people when normally 30 people show up normally.
Yeah.
So I think people are beginning to like want to lean into this.
What I think is exciting for in my own life about, well, exciting is probably not the right word, but what I feel motivated by is to be actually like artists in the past who manage to understand the times that they live in and make the work based on that insight and understanding. That there's quite a powerful motivation when we recognize what is usually missed among the general population, what we call the times. I mean, there's a word for it in German that is used a lot. It's called Zeitgeist, which is to identify the times. It's not predicting the future, but is being able to live at the moment. And it's very motivating when we talk about what is it that would activate a person to become involved and even to be effective in their actions is to know the time that we live in. So anything that distracts us from focusing on what it is that we are living today, who are we? What is surrounding us? Once we actually just settle down in ourselves and begin to feel the time we live in and the age of fission, the idea of being in the age of fission is actually another version of the enlightenment. It's like it's incredibly empowering to understand the time that we live in, which is something that, in my own work, motivates me to get up in the morning, go to the studio, and produce the work. And I want to have the shows that represent my understanding of the time that we live in. And I think that I see you as a person who has identified the most crucial aspects of your existence, meaning that this is so important, this event is so important, and this time is so amazingly important, it creates motivation in you. I think I'm right on this, don't you? That how can you do five programs, do your business, your day-to-day business? Are you still in school as well?
I took this term off, but I do plan on going back in April. But
I
understand. I'll only be taking one class. I'm not going to be taking two classes, though.
But am I right on this, Lottie? Because your motivation in this is quite extraordinary. I mean, from to have the world against you in a sense. I mean, everybody. When I bring this topic up, when I say we live in the age of fission, people shut down. So it ends up there are very few people that we can talk with and talk to about this. And we're literally left by ourselves relative to the numbers of people we come in contact with every day.
Well, the interesting part about it, Tom, is that people recognize they're living in the age of fission. Like, one of the things that I really want to do is an outreach, and this is another little project I'm going to get started on, is we need to teach people how to take care of themselves in this age of fission. Like, it's not just all death and gloom. And frankly, many people are going to be sick, and they already are sick. The denial by the medical industry, by the industry that's perpetrated these crimes, is unconscionable. We're living in a time where people are willing to accept lies as truth. I mean, this is the ironic part about, having President Trump. I mean, it's unconscionable that we have a president of the United States who continues to perpetrate his own lies, bold-faced lies on television about his own policies as if it is true. And people just, well, that's Trump. You know how he likes to talk about things. No, I mean, he's a bold-faced liar. Bullies and liars go together, don't they? But I mean, yesterday on the Super Bowl, they did a clip of him with the O'Reilly saying that only 146 people were prevented from coming in on this Muslim ban that he's created. That there's over 100,000 people whose visas were revoked. And they're in the process of getting them back because there's a judge. Every judge that's looked at this legislation said that's insane. But the point is, it's the same thing. It's like these alternative facts from the nuclear industry. We've been living with alternative facts since they discovered the nuclear industry, since they started it. It's alternative facts. They've been lying to us about what they're doing. It's almost as if we have to, it's beyond conscionable. The truth is fact. It's like 1984 is an operation manual instead of a novel.
What I think about this, Lonnie, when you mentioned Trump and the idea of president, so we're within a superstructure of states. You know, my dissertations on culture, what I call, we are living in a culture of death and civilization. And we have these super, super structures around us, what are called governments, people that meddle with our lives and our minds, that we're looking for guidance. I think this is a natural thing. I always, when I went to art school, I had the privilege of meeting probably the best artists at that time in Canada, who were some of them were quite inspirational, and they were tied into their work as a what I recognize as a calling. They weren't just sort of teaching me stuff; they were representing themselves in terms of their own work. Being I don't know who designates a calling in any individual. And I think we're looking for guidance, Lonnie. When we talk about these people like Trump and these leaders, we're misplacing our expectations. I think this is something that is so obvious now. To elect someone that is of such a low quality as a person. And last night we talked about elders and the idea of elders. What has happened to the concept of elders? Where are the elders? Where are the people that have the experience and the wisdom to inform younger people for a direction? Not tell them where to go, but inspire them towards a direction, Lonnie. What's happened? What's happened to that whole concept?
I haven't got a clue. I mean, what's really happened is they've intentionally demeaned it. It's part of the rocking up of culture. It's like the destruction there. It's been this process. This is the interesting thing. With the election of President Trump, it's the culmination of a 100 years program. I mean, honestly, when we think about when they first incorporated the United States, this is just a natural. Dave Ratcliffe, who I interviewed on Friday, he is the gentleman who owns John Goffman's rights to his books, right? And we were talking about this, and he said, "Look, what happened was slaves became free, so they had to incorporate the United States so that they could basically." And that's really what it's happened is we have become this concept of what who we think we are and what we're really living is in complete conflict with what the reality is. Like, we really have no concept of, and Trump just highlights it, and we're expected to just accept his lies and bullyism, and it's a b standard bureaucratic authoritarian regime that they're attempting to roll out. I mean, Mike Pence says, "Well, we're going to get this judge one way or another." Really? That's actually not true. This is not, they can't just come in and decide they're going to rewrite our Constitution, and yet this is exactly what they plan on doing. I mean, just Pinochet-style government. And I think this is why people are beginning to get active, because they're beginning to realize if they don't get active, what we consider to be our way of life is going to rapidly spiral downward into a kind of fascist, openly fascist state.
Okay, so when we reflect on this, when we discuss this and think about this, we're undermined. Ultimately, what I take away from all of this, and the age of fission is probably the age of being totally undermined. It's whatever happened
Yeah.
before. I think we've come through history, which I actually don't believe is as it is expressed in a chronology, in a consensual history. I don't believe that this is actually what happened. I mean, the victors always, we know that the victors write history. And who has succeeded are the people that are able to manipulate us. And I think we're undermined at every step. So now, understanding this, knowing this, well, first of all, I think we have to accept that somewhere, that what you're saying is true. Now, what do we do with that? This is what I'm always focused on. I mean, to announce the usual suspects who are doing this is important. I agree. I agree to be able to articulate the culprits. And but once we have that, and I don't think there is any sense in speaking to anyone unless they fundamentally accept that we're sort of we have to be in the same on the same page in this before anything can be communicated. So you and I have this innate understanding in some form or other. You have your way of seeing it, I have my way of seeing it, but we're really on the same page. So where do we this what we talked about last night about why are we so ineffective? And I think that what's happening is that everybody is on a different page with this. And we need to be on the same page, which is what I guess maybe I would it's like to create a consensus of what's really important. And there are many things people can have fights on all different levels. And I place a lot of value in picking a fight. I think there is no point in living if you haven't really picked a fight. And I mean this in the sense of trying to make a difference, like really being committed to something, whether that's in our own lives or it's like going out of ourselves into the bigger world. But where do we become effective? How do we actually make a difference? And what I wanna say, and when I do my videos, what I say to people is that the first step of starting to be on the same page is to make fundamental changes in our own lives on some very meaningful level. And that doesn't have to be like a magnificent change, like moving to India and living in an ashram or something. It has to do with something in our day-to-day lives that make us feel we're in control. Just by ourselves, we're able to accomplish something in our own life. So when we hit the wall on something as monumental as Fukushima, it's going to not be as overwhelming. Like, everything that we face, and there are many people out there that can pick their fight and make a difference for all of us. Like the smallest thing becomes incredibly important. Like you always say, we all matter. Every person matters. And every person matters in the sense that they're able to change something in their own life. That's how we begin to matter. And to pick on the biggest fight in the universe isn't gonna work. I mean, it has to come. There is a prerequisite to being effective and even wanting to do something about anything. And the first thing is, like you and I, we are in communion on this age, what we're facing. I mean, what it is that we're really living in. So that's sort of my thought on our conversation whenever we have this. I call them conversations of the heart because we're dealing with very important issues, but as they relate to me and as they relate to you. When I talk to you, you let me into your personal life and what's happening. And actually, you're very forthcoming. I think you're, the way you talk about your life is the revealing part of it. I think it really helps people to understand who you are and what you're doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Well, look, I am.
Is this sort of like too much? It's like, it's very emotional. My base is very emotional. It's not based on information. I try to relate to people on a level of, I want to feel connected to them. And the information doesn't connect me. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And I think as long as we're caught in the headlights of the latest and the greatest, which is, yes, it has its place. It has its importance. But we're not going to be effective unless we let it sink in somehow and make changes in our own life. That's how I see it. And that's how I see your value to me, because you've made some pretty significant changes in your life and the way you're living, that's how I look at it.
Well, what's interesting for me is I don't see how people can understand what's going on in Fukushima and not change their lives. I can't even comprehend why people choose to ignore it and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, because I think we need to continue to put pressure on our elected officials, the people with the purse strings. As much as I know it's ineffective, I'm not going to let them be comfortable destroying our planet. They still do control the purse strings. They do control the military. The industrial military complex is not some faceless thing. It's people with real names choosing to fund horrendous projects that are destroying our planet, but they're real people with real names, like Stengler, the guy at what, Republic Services, right? The head of that. These people, like Roy Blunt from Missouri, the senator from Missouri, whose family has connections to Republic Services that is actively poisoning people in St. Louis. I mean, these are real people with real names. And because people are willing, most of us have just been trained to just ignore exactly all of it, then it continues on because people go, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, that's actually not true.
And the more people begin to feel this and, as you say, call the representatives, I think numbers will make a huge difference. Like, the Gandhi experience of walking down to the beach and telling people to get their salt rather than from the beach, rather than buying it from some British company that was monopolizing salt. I mean, how insane was that? Buy your salt from a company and you go down to the beach and you get your salt directly from the ocean. I mean, this sort of there is a history, there are indicators. And when I say elders, I think that a person like Gandhi, to me, represents, I mean, they all have their foibles and their flaws, but the essence is there is a wisdom there that informs the younger people to actually take the right path. I mean, that was such an obvious kind of conclusion for him to make. And it is such a simple thing that totally destroyed an empire. I mean, look at Britain, they're stuck on their little island with a bunch of banks now. And you know, I mean, it probably is more complex than that. But our actions, from the smallest one, he started walking by himself, and then he accumulated more and more people until there were tens of thousands going down to the beach to get their salt. So,
Isn't that what we want to do here? I mean, just
yeah,
as
we want to
people
get
paying
together
attention
and.
to Fukushima and saying, hey, this is, this is the astounding part is we know for a fact that our military is looking at it. We know that the governments around the world are actually paying attention to Fukushima. I
Yeah.
mean, Mad Dog Mattis just went to Japan, right? They didn't play footsie over there. They were talking serious business about the nuclear waste that's coming out of there and what are we going to do about it. It is growing exponentially. This is not something they can continue to ignore. Like, what will happen is it's going to cause some type of a catastrophic event again. And then people will say, gee, we didn't know. Well, we actually do know. This is the interesting thing. We do know. And yet people refuse to change their lives and refuse to lean into government and make them fix it.
Well,
I just
you're talking now about actually boots on the ground control groups that are functioning amongst us. These people are walking amongst us who are actually literally fulfilling some kind of a plan. This is what you're alluding to. You're talking about somebody who meets up with somebody else. Yes, there is a degree of publicity around it, but we don't really know what goes on in the behind the doors, what is being formulated and discussed. And I can imagine that there is a clarity on this. I have no doubt that people who are running the show are quite aware of the severity and significance of this event. But the fact that they're not being that it's not being publicized shows us it's a cover-up. I mean, anybody can see based on the photographs from this stricken plant that there is a problem. Mission control,
Right,
we have a problem. We have a
exactly.
problem, mission control. And to pretend like life goes on as usual is the most insane thing. To the conclusion that, hey, it's like, let's go to the next Super Bowl, let's go to the next game, and all this kind of stuff. So you're right. I think there is a control group. And my interest in this is also in terms of empowering my own sort of sense of, I don't know, what is that positivity that I have still and want to have is, where does this come from? Where does this originate? This is what I talk about. And for people who are interested in actually being able to make a step in their own life, we have to know what it is that is undermining us and controlling us, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, okay, Mad Dog goes, and we can see something, there's mucky muck going on here. We all know this, and it's going to affect all of us. But I mean, how are we going to deal with this guy? I mean, how do we do this incredible structure around us is so complex, and people are complicit in continuing something that isn't working. We just have to look around us. And even though we see our communities and everything is going apparently like normal, but every single household on my street that I know, that I talk to people, have had a death, several deaths, or are dealing with cancer at this time. Everybody is being afflicted by a disease that should happen when you're 85. So this is something that we are all being affected by this, and the structures around us are keeping us, preventing us from actually recognizing it. And I think this is important for me because when I make my paintings, I reference art history quite a lot, actually. People, they call it appropriations. I actually use other artists' images in order to, it's sort of like a homage as well, because I have a great faith in the idea of elders, not that it's functioning anymore, really, but I do have a faith in learning from people that have come before me and history. But somehow to be able to identify each person where this manipulation, where we're stuck on not looking around us and saying, well, this is a problem. What is it that I'm not willing to accept here? If everybody is dealing with cancer, I would say the next thing I would expect somebody to say, well, where is that coming from? It's abnormal. It's not right. Something is wrong here. So to identify the structures around us that prevent us from acting, it's very important to understand that. And that's why I say civilization. In my last videos, I was talking about this in terms of, you know, my thought about the culture of death, and civilization literally has built within it, and this goes to intent. This is something for me, it's quite profound to see this, that there is a built-in default off switch in civilization. This destruction that we're facing now comes out of progress, the idea of civilization having created our environment, the affluence, the iPods, the fabulous cars, the luxuries we enjoy through whatever systems of payment and money we have, has led us to a situation where we are literally facing complete, total annihilation of all life on this planet. So I say, whoever is still adhering to the idea that civilization, as Gandhi said, would be a good idea, is actually a desirable aspect in our life, is completely false and wrong. That's how I look at it. We need an alternate. We really do need an alternate to this concept of progress and civilization. And I've always said I would gladly live in mud huts and wear wood shoes to replace it all. If I could do something in my life that would radically change how I look at my own existence to get rid of Fukushima, I would gladly, you know, give it a shot with mud hut and wood shoes. I don't need iPods and all the
well,
latest.
Well, I don't think that's necessary, Tom. There's actually someone that I'm talking to. His name is Shaziz. He's a kind of an internet. He's on some internet radio shows that I was on recently, and I've asked him to come on. He has a whole YouTube channel called Shaziz, Shazizz, and he basically is creating these energy sources out of simple things that are, we could get ourselves off the grid 100% and in ways that doesn't harm the planet. There are things that we can do.
Nice.
And that's the thing. And that's what he talks about. He's, you know, it's a bit frustrating knowing that this stuff, especially since the planet is under assault right now. I mean, we're being threatened, and yet we have the answers. The people that run these technologies know we have the answers. It's just the reason it's not out there is they can't figure out how to monetize it because it's free.
You think that they could mitigate the incredible amount of toxic material that has been produced over the 70 years of the peaceful atom? There is a mitigation process that could actually reverse everything.
Yes, they have the more I look into it, there is remediation. The man who really developed phytoremediation, so-called committed suicide, like after he came out, like they do not want the answers out, period. I mean, why they want the murder, death, kill. What I think that they're not looking at, though, is the death of the other animal species on the planet, like the mass animal deaths, the whales, the birds.
Did you see this? Hawaii had six beached whales.
Since November, yes. But you know what? Like three whales washed up in Baja, California last weekend, you know? I mean, we are having mass animal deaths like you would not believe, mass fish deaths. I mean, what they're not counting on is the oceans can't recuperate. What if they do not do it, they really will destroy themselves, but they're hanging on, they're eating off their own arms out of greed.
What's that thing? Extinction is forever. I mean, once the whales and the fish, and you can't remediate. It's impossible. I don't know what the earth would look like when so many millions of species have been eradicated. I mean, this is so horrendous, this idea. I mean, it's difficult to comprehend and even say it with words. Like the idea, you know, they make a big fuss about the dodo bird. And we're talking about, you know, potentially the earth never recovering in any sort of way from this event, man-made event. This is something we've done. We have done this. It's on our watch. We have allowed this to happen. Then I think about this, you know, for myself and what a dope I was for so much time, and which is why I have sympathy for people coming around this slowly. I mean, I was part of the problem in this in terms of my own awareness. And but the first thing, you know, anyone listening that feels overwhelmed in this, I'm going to say you don't have to do anything. First of all, the one thing that always stops people is for, you know, do anything is when they're overwhelmed. And what I'm saying is the first thing is just to recognize it, just to say yes, whichever way you want to say it. I say we live in the age of fission. Whatever that does to you, all you have to do is accept that to begin with. And then life will begin to, you know, that conscience thing I talk about begins to kick in. You won't have much of a choice because that conscience thing is so powerful in normal human beings. People want to do the right thing, but you can't do the right thing if you don't, are first of all, you open the book up and you're reading the first page. So I think this is crucial for people not to put the pressure on themselves to have to do anything. I say, first of all, just accept. Begin that first step is acceptance, to actually recognize what it is we're facing. And then it'll snowball. I am so convinced of this. I mean, I see it, and I see how people are, they inspire other people to do the same thing, right? It's like inspirational to see somebody do the right thing around us. You see somebody, you know, in the winter lying on a warm grate, and you help them and you give them, you know, whatever it is you feel motivated to do. It's like, it's fabulous. It's that's how it works, I think. That's how humanity works. That's how we've survived. Not the oligarchs who run their show, who create the rules and the regulations, but it's like hardcore people every day doing the right thing.
And I also think it doesn't do any good to keep repeating the facts, the horrors of the facts, because we know the atrocities that they have had to, I mean, I've had guests on here who have talked about, you know, horrendous acts of violence being perpetrated against them by the nuclear industry or by the dark state or whatever. But the reality is those facts don't motivate people to get active. Facts kind of terrify people and paralyze people. Like, you're not going to, I mean, the idea of talking about like the 500 sieverts per hour at Fukushima is an incomprehensible number, right? Yep. We can't even imagine what it means. I mean, suffice it to say that you go within a few feet of it and you're dead within 20 minutes. That's how strong it is. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Yes.
Now, people resist that. This is something that, why is a nuclear explosion so devastating? Because exactly of what's happening in Fukushima is the peaceful atom doing the same thing. Why do people die in nuclear explosions? Oh yeah, it's a big blast. Well, what is happening is each atom is a big blast in those plants. So, you know, when they're inside of us, you ingest one of these atoms, never mind the 500 or 330 sieverts per hour. It's like these things are proven to be actually that. It's not an argument. And what I find quite curious is that there are people out there, and Dana talks about this often, about the scientists, who actually insist that nuclear radiation is not a threat to life. I mean, I find this outrageous. You know, ionizing radiation from a man-made chain reaction is not dangerous to all life on this planet. How can anybody actually say that anymore? It's so obvious. It's proven.
Well, what they do is they look at us and say, well, we've been living perfectly fine, and we're able to cope with these things. Yes, it will make you sick. Yes, we are going to have some issues with it, but it's worth the progress. You want your internet, don't you? This is the false equivalency of the nuclear industry. The real issue is this. This is why I have to bring everything into the show, Tom. It has permeated every aspect of our life. They lie about the negative effects of radiation, about everything in our lives. They're even attempting to convince us that maybe eating too many bananas will give us radiation sickness.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like the absurdity of the nuclear industry, and it is really only for profit. And really, at this point, it's not just for profit, it's about abdicating their responsibility. They do not want to admit the harm they've caused and the fact that they have not really leaned into being good protectors of it. We gave them this blanket authority because we knew it was a grave situation. So we gave the government extraordinary responsibility, extraordinary authority, and they have done nothing but subjugate it to lies and deception and harm. It's translated into perpetual war, essentially.
And we're prevented. What you're saying to me is that literally we are being prevented from living our lives the way each person was meant to live it, what in whatever form that might be. It's
Exactly.
like, right? It's
Yes.
kind of like there is a scientific term actually, which is very interesting. It's called systemic feedback, and it's used in the sense that. This is an accepted scientific notion, especially with the whole idea of quantum mechanics, which I'm not a big fan of, by the way. I find all these models, these scientific explanations of the mystery, like the nucleus and the electron and all that stuff. Okay, fine. You have a symbol. I have my own symbols. I don't see it in those terms. But anyway, talking about systemic feedback. I'm not sure who coined this and how long ago, but it basically refers to scientific study as you will find what you're looking for. And if you can't find it, you make the machine that will see what you want to see. And I think this is a curious notion because we're not acting out of what we consider to be, we have choices and we decide our lives based on making choices, but in fact, we have been trained over a long period of time, and I'm talking about, possibly hundreds or thousands of years, to actually find what they want us to see. So when I say they, is that there is a group of people, I'm convinced, that feel they can run the whole show, and maybe even they think they can do a good job of it. Well, we see what their good job has led us to. It's not working. And I think this is something within culture and civilization, systemic feedback. We are continuously in a loop of actually seeing and acting the way we're supposed to be. And this is quite dangerous because,
What do you mean supposed to be? You mean the way they want us to act, the way we've
yes,
been
like
manipulated into
the
responding?
manipulation, exactly. But
Yeah.
even scientific method, Lonnie, what I'm saying is like the scientific method has a fundamental principle that they've identified as what they call systemic feedback. So if you're inventing something, or if let's say you're looking for a quasar in the universe, you will invent the machine that will see it. It's not there. It's something that is created because you want it to be there. So everything we've ended up with, Fukushima is basically systemic feedback. It's a built-in mechanism within civilization that has led us to this point. So the only way we can counter it from a very deep level in terms of ourselves is, like you've referred to being, people have our sovereign beings. We're important because we're all very unique and individual in our being, and we have abilities and qualities that cannot be replicated in anyone else. And that is something that has to come out. But if we belong to this structure, this civilization, we literally are prohibited from acting our calling, from being ourselves, because we're always looking for that what we're trying to find, or we're always finding what we're looking for because it's built in. We're gonna get our destruction. That's what I'm saying. It was built into us. As soon as we're born, we're whacked full of vaccines. We're 10 days old and we get a whole bunch of toxins thrown into us. Well, that's a great introduction to my brothers and sisters on this planet. Like to feel this poison circulating through my body and have no doubt every individual conscious human being feels this thing, this attack against them. So our introduction to the world is it used to be, I don't know if they still do it, but they slap babies on the bum to get them to cry. Are they still doing that?
I hope not.
I hope not too,
No doubt,
because
but probably, yes, somewhere they are.
I got whacked. I'm sure I got whacked because I'm just recovering from my initial whacks right now. I mean, this is why they have those deep therapies, like those R.D. Lang knots kind of therapy, where people lose themselves in weird kind of mental states. And I went through therapy, and they had to pry me off the wall after 6 years. They said, "You're a lost cause, get out of here." It's like that. And good thing I was a painter, because I think it would have been very difficult for me to have a life without that sort of release for myself. But my point is that we have such a seriously hostile introduction when we come into this world, and it's practiced by people in white coats that are supposedly doing the right thing for us. Now, how can anybody inject a poison into an innocent young life form? Any life form, but a human being injected with poisons immediately. Now, who could in their right mind think that is a good idea? And every parent out there, I know you love your children, but I say civilization makes it very hard on all of us to love another person. And this is something that we have to grapple with and get a hold of, because as long as people have children, they need to do the right thing and be informed and not create the next monster. Like somebody who is hurt early on like that is going to turn out to be like a Trump. This guy was punished. You better believe it. No matter what people say, how privileged their lives and their parents and all this, these people are all punished. They are driven underground, their emotions. I mean, look at these people, how they live with each other. They can't even hug each other. You look at these guys, they pretend to kiss and stuff. It's all a big front. They're so loveless in their lives. It's pathetic. It's horrible. And it comes from, and I don't blame them. I say we were subjected to some very difficult moments in a very early formative stage. And I'm just giving vaccines as an example. So you look
Well,
at
maybe this is part of why people just can't move past that, their fear to action, because maybe that's what the people that are perpetrating these crimes count on, is us to just be paralyzed into non-action on a permanent basis so that enough of us will die and they're never going to be held accountable. I mean, I think that's their big fear, is that they have to be held accountable. At some point, they are responsible. The people in the industry are responsible for lying and for perpetrating lies and manipulations. Like right now, they're moving people back into Fukushima.
Oh,
People
God.
are living up in Richland. I mean, it's beyond comprehension that people are living within a very short space up there where plutonium is pouring into the Columbia River. I mean, and people are getting sick, and yet it's a cultural denial. I've had Wendy, Heidi Lambert on this show several times. She talks about how if you live in Richland, you cannot talk about the harm that nuclear causes you, period. It is ixnay. You will be socially ostracized. No, people will literally talk about you.
You know what this like what comes up in my mind is like, the Groucho Marx thing. I would never belong to a club that would have me as a member. And the club that I definitely cannot belong to is this club of hurt. I mean, look at it. It's all about hurt. It's people hurt to such an extent. And it's shutting down. I've said this on some of my videos, that hearts are being broken from all the hurt. And heart disease is still the largest, apparently, it's still the largest cause of death in the population. And a heart is not a pump that pumps blood. It's something else. It gives energy to every cell that it that every the blood goes through the heart. This is how I see it. There is some kind of transfer of an energy into every blood cell that goes through the heart. And it's impossible for the heart to be a pump that reaches all those little capillaries. You just try taking a big hose and filling a whole bunch of little hoses. It doesn't work. You need pressure, like a gazillion pounds of pressure. It doesn't work. So something else is happening. And I believe that the heart is a part of our body that gives this positive energy. And when that fails, we have heart attacks. And I think the hurt is a huge part of this disease, that people are hurting so badly that their hearts just give in. They die of broken hearts. So the pressure is for us to belong to this broken heart club, the club of hurt. I see it as a big club of hurt, and everybody gets paid off with a paycheck, and they think they're actually benefiting in this club, and they're not benefiting because they're going to die of heartbreak. So my suggestion to all the people listening to this, if you have a sense of this hurt, get out of the club. Get in with us, you know, get in with the Lonnie Clark and Ackerman club of, you know, we can do this. We can do this if we buck this horrible tradition of accepting the hurt. Just let's stop the hurt. Let's stop all the hurt. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Their paradigm is not our paradigm. We do not have to participate with it. Our thoughts really are things. We can manifest something. It's like the Dalai Lama said, if you believe it, like somebody asked him a question, well, what do you think? And he said, well, it's because if you believe that's the answer, that is going to be your answer. So right. It's very important for us to guard our thoughts. This is why the number one agreement with the four agreements is so important. Like, very important to guard your thoughts and to refuse to participate in negative self-chatter in the back of your head. Oh, it's all fucked up. We're never going to do it. Blah, 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 blah. Continue barfing on yourself about and ruminating over the horrible things that happened to you in your past. Well, yes, horrible things have happened, but those are lessons, life lessons that you can move forward from. And okay, so you might be under, we are under continued assault because we're bucking a huge monster that has apparent, this is the thing, they think they have more power than us, but they don't. And that's why they're fighting so hard, because they know if we recognized our real power, they would be stopped immediately. The paradigm shift would change within just a few short years. This is why they pull out all the stops with the violence. They want people to be fearful, buy into the violence, and buy into the hate. And that's why they do it nonstop. Like yesterday, Fox News on CNN perpetrating Trump's lies right there. They didn't even question him. I mean, it was just beyond, even Lady Gaga, this land is your land, this land is my land. Really? I couldn't believe it. Like, really?
She looked like she was wearing a diaper when she came down on those strings. I thought she looked kind of weird. I watched the halfway. I liked the symbols that they introduced. It was quite a departure, actually, from the last halftime shows, where it was quite satanic and demonic, what I call.
That was intentional. I believe that they intentionally made an effort to erase any look like that.
Yeah,
like this
right.
was an intentional, this was quite, the manipulation was still the same. Even the song, This Land Is Your Land. Like,
right,
no,
right.
It's
that
not.
Social movement, wasn't that Woody Guthrie?
Yes, but that song, like for real, like when we look at what we're doing to our, are we going to talk? In fact, I sort of did a takeoff on that song myself that I sing sort of when I stand out on the street in protest, right? And it used to be our land. It used to be for you and me, but now it's like from, you know, Diablo Canyon to the
It used to belong to us. Yeah, maybe you have to rewrite that song and, you know,
I did
what a ripoff, what a ridiculous symbol they are trying to pull over our eyes with that Gaga lady. And, you know, it's like pathetic. And they always pull out what I love, these the usual suspects, you know, it's like death, hurt, maim, murder, sex. It's like, you know, it's a litany of all the worst perversions. You know, we always get subjected to these perversions. And for some reason, we have a weakness as human beings that we're easily, I think it's the shock value in it that makes us take it seriously on some level. Because what's the point of a perversion? It's like what I call the romance with the Grim Reaper. Where is it going to get us? Where is it going to get us, you know, to have all this kind of free What is that? Like, we feel we get something for nothing just because we satisfy our urges. We get something for nothing. Everybody always looks for something for nothing. Well, I have news. There is the only free thing is breathing in and out. You know, and even that is going to be charged for now with carbon tax. You know, if you and I have to stop breathing pretty soon, Lonnie, because they're in Canada, they're instigating a tax on carbon. Yeah,
Well,
so
wouldn't that
you
be?
better
I
you
wonder if
better
they're
not
gonna
breathe out.
the
You
tax
can
on
breathe in,
carbon.
but don't breathe out unless
This
you
is the
stop
nuts
breathing
part
carbon.
about it all. They're refusing to talk about how uranium mining and the nuclear industry is harming every single industry. I mean, it is pervasive, Tom. When I look at the efforts that they put in for the nuclear industry, and it really is for the murder, death, kill. It's just for the war machine. That's all it's about. And people think that we're working for peace on this planet. No, we're not. We're working for war on this planet. There
Yeah.
is no peace movement. There is no real peace movement. Like yesterday's bullshit on the stupid bowls. Like, she comes out singing, "This land is made for you and me." Like, really? I mean, while the people that are protecting, trying to not have the last little pipe built underneath the Missouri River are being shot with pellets,
Right.
and while they're dumping billions of gallons of plutonium into the Columbia River, billions of gallons of tritium into the Hudson Bay, fish dying in Florida and in the Gulf Stream from, he wants to put Rick Perry in, who oversaw one of Texas's largest nuclear waste dumps that happened. Like, they had a huge spill that Rick Perry oversaw and became a disaster. It's just inconscionable
It's
that people.
grotesque. It's
Well,
grotesque, Lonnie. It's
how did they
grotesque.
move? This is, I guess, the same question. We're still not closer to where we were an hour ago. We've got a couple minutes left, but
No, I think, oh no, I disagree. I really feel quite invigorated by this conversation again, our conversations from the heart. And what you confirmed, even with the Dalai Lama quote about your thoughts are things, right? It actually is the same as the idea of systemic feedback, that we can actually change this story. We can create our own story. We don't need to go.
Creating it, whether we
Yes.
want to accept it or not. See, this is why it's important to stay positive in our thoughts or things. Envision what we want to see. Envision the solutions. We may not be able to see it in front of us right now, but our thoughts are things. It's important for us to recognize that we are active participants in the future and in the past. I mean, our thoughts are things. What we manifest, what we believe, will come to fruition if enough of us really can see the future as being something that we can hang on to.
And to basically make that first step of acceptance that this is happening. This is not a fantasy. This is happening. This is real, people. And the first step is an acceptance of this. And then let your conscience do the rest.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Tom, how can people see your artwork? Is your show still going on?
Yes, and I'm in a group show coming up as well. So there's good activity on my art front in terms of showing after the last 4 years of zilch nothing. So
well, what's your website? We have about 30 seconds.
My website was hacked, and I have a fabulous web designer working on it.
Okay.
That, yeah, it's Eric Jordan in New Zealand has taken on the job of presenting me to the public.
Okay, well, you can find him on Art Rant, I think, that or H. Thomas.
Well, you
Ackerman.
Can find, yeah, my videos. I have one page, Ackerman-artist.com is my website, but you don't see much on there right now.
Okay,
but,
well, we've got 10 seconds. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Man.
Really appreciate it. You guys take action, put your courage feet on. Your thoughts are things. We can lean into this and create a future that's positive. So
fabulous,
take
Lonnie.
Care.
Fabulous.
Thanks.